Hi, this is John Hartshorn, and welcome to episode 23 of Keep On Grooving. Last time we dealt with covers and tributes that came out in the 70s and 80s. This time we move into the 90s and hear how Jimmy influenced a wide variety of artists, from his old pal Eric Clapton to any number of alternative and R&B groups. Plus, Jimmy hits the charts again with dance music. Episode 23, Covers and Tributes Part 2, 1993 through today. The first half of the 1990s were very fluid in terms of what was the hot sound of the moment. Grunge gave way to Hootie and the Blowfish, who then gave way to Alanis Morissette. All the while, Boys to Men had several epic runs at number one. But the past wasn't ignored, it was embraced and paid tribute to. It really kicked off with Two Rooms, with various artists doing the songs of Elton John and Bernie Taupin. From there, like Jimmy Durante used to say, everybody got in on the act. There was Nativity in Black for Black Sabbath, Kiss My You Know What for Kiss, Dedicated to the Grateful Dead, Encomium for Led Zeppelin. Heck, one of them even led to Hell freezing over and the Eagles reuniting. Jimmy was so well loved and respected, he ended up getting two tribute albums in the space of 3 years, as well as a different kind of tribute in between. Stone Free, a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. First off was Stone Free from his old label at that point, Reprise. It had artists from all over the spectrum doing their takes on Hendrix songs. And to set the album off on a dissonant foot, they went with The Cure's take on Purple Haze. You can hear the song in there, but it's definitely got Mr. Smith's imprint all over it, which is fine. That's what we're here for. Next up is the title track done by Jimmy's buddy Eric Clapton. After spending most of the 80s on a decent career swing, he had the horrible tragedy of the accidental death of his son Connor in 1991 happen and brought things to a halt. After nearly a year, he decided to deal with the emotions he felt in songs. The first of which, Tears in Heaven, made it all the way up to number two on the charts. He followed this up with an appearance on MTV's Unplugged, which yielded a multi-million selling album that won numerous Grammys. It was in this frame of mind that he took on his old friend's song. It was a traditional take, nothing too revolutionary, but it was good to hear the old master able to still shred things up when he had to. Plus, his backing band was none other than Chic. It would end up being the last time Niall Bernard and Tony played together. Eric will be back to the Hendrix catalog a few more times over the following decades that we'll get to. The Spin Doctors, a hot band in that era, took on Spanish Castle Magic. This was followed by blues legend Buddy Guy's version of Red House. Now, Red House already had one blues legend take a pass at it, with John Lee Hooker doing it on the Variations on a Theme album. But Buddy was a more natural fit for a Hendrix cover. He was doing the showmanship stuff long before Jimmy hit the scene. Guy would do all the crazy things, even playing his shows at the other end of a 100-foot guitar cable. Next, Hey Joe was covered by the band Body Count. It was a heavy metal outlet for rapper Ice-T and was in the news around that time for one of its songs, Cop Killer. Oddly enough, when Ice-T moved away from music and into acting, his most famous role was as Officer Odafin Tatula on Law & Order SVU alongside Mariska Hargitay, who's the daughter of Jane Mansfield, who Jimmy played on a session for. You see how all this stuff comes together? The unlikely combo of Seal and Jeff Beck take on Manic Depression with an interesting little breakdown at the end. I've often thought about how it would kind of make a cool intro to Kiss from a Rose. The breakdown is kind of slows down nicely, and then you could pick it up. It might work. One of the B-sides of Kiss from a Rose was Seal's cover of The Wind Cries Mary. That's also been a fairly popular tune to cover. Bon Jovi guitar player Richie Sambora did a somewhat louder version on his Stranger in Town solo album. An even odder choice is up next on the tribute album, violinist Nigel Kennedy's version of Fire. However, Kennedy is a huge Hendrix fan. He ended up doing his own tribute album a la Gil Evans, called the Kennedy Experience. He's so much of a fan, it came into play at a recent event. Kennedy was scheduled to play Royal Albert Hall for Classic FM last September 2021. However, the station wasn't thrilled with Kennedy's intention to play an entire concert of Hendrix covers. They preferred he play something their audience would expect, like Vivaldi's Full Seasons. Nigel said, absolutely not. I'm doing Jimmy or nothing at all. They balked, he walked. Now that's a fan. Next on the album is the Pretenders version of Bold as Love. Chrissie Hynde is one of the great ladies of rock, alongside Stevie Nicks, Pat Benatar, Joan Jett. She can go toe-to-toe with the best of them. She's also a prolific songwriter. I think her time with Ray Davies in part ended up paying off in that regard, though she's been happily married to Simple Minds' Jim Kerr for decades now. She's quite an eclectic personality. While she's a passionate animal lover and environmentalist, she also happily allowed Rush Limbaugh to use My City Was Gone as his theme song for the entire run of his show. She also does have a tie with Jimmy in part with another song in her catalog. After release of their first self-titled LP, they put out the extended play EP, which included the song Message of Love. Just not that message of love. Now, it's not on Wiki, but I remember at some point Chrissie mentioned Jimmy's song of the same name kind of inspired it. Though, as you can hear when you listen to the song, it went in a completely different direction. Next up is another band of the time, PM Dawn's version of You Got Me Floating. It's sort of done along the same lines as their true borrowing Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. You know, I gotta give a shout out to fellow Jersey guys. You know, Jersey City gave us PM Dawn, Queen Latifah, and Kamala Khan. It's making its mark. Next up, we have a supergroup without a name. On vocals, we have Paul Rodgers of Free Bad Company, The Firm, and Queen fame. On guitar, Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver's own Saul Hudson, a.k.a. Slash. And on rhythm, we have Mr. Billy Cox and Mr. Buddy Miles, the Band of Gypsies themselves. They decided to take on a song the Gypsies didn't do during their run, but Billy did a number of times during the 1970 tour, I Don't Live Today. Another band of the era, Belly, did their spacey take on Are You Experienced? At that point in the 90s, you could not have done an album like this without Living Color, and they're here doing an extended take on Crosstown Traffic. They did the song at the 2010 Experience Hendrix show Darren and I saw. It's a shame Jimmy never did it live. They showed it would have been a great live song to go off on. Pat Metheny's ultra-funky jazz take on Third Stone from the Sun is next to last, and the album ends with MACC's version of Hey Baby. Now, the acronym is new, but the band is a little familiar. Mike McCready on guitar, Jeff Ament on bass, Matt Cameron on drums, and Chris Cornell on vocals. Basically, it's Temple of the Dog. Jimmy made his own guest appearance alongside the grunge groups on the soundtrack to Cameron Crowe's Singles, which took place in Seattle. Matt Dillon's character ends up taking a video of himself at Jimmy's grave, and May This Be Love is included on the soundtrack. Both Stone Free and the single soundtrack were generally well-received and pointed more people towards the Jimmy mindset. One of the most interesting Jimmy projects was an album in 1994 called If 60s Was 90s by the band Beautiful People. It took samples of Jimmy's songs and bits of him speaking and put them over a house beat. A couple years later, his buddy Eric Clapton did his own house album with producer Simon Climie under the name TDF. How I ever found out about that album, I'll never know. If 60s Was 90s actually ended up giving Jimmy not one, but two hits on the Hot Dance Club singles charts. Really Groovy, which took guitars from Wild Thing and Bleeding Heart, and the title track, If 60s Was 90s, that lifted vocals from If 6 Was 9, as well as one of his appearances on The Dick Cavett Show, and guitar from The Long Voodoo Child. I'm not big into that type of music, but the Jimmy connection made it enjoyable. I haven't listened to it in a while. I think I need to break it out. In From the Storm, the music of Jimi Hendrix. Just 2 years after the first multi-artist tribute album came out, in 1995, RCA put out another one, this time entitled In From the Storm. It was more of a collaborative effort than one artist taking a turn at doing a Jimi song. The album opens with the twofer that opens Electric Ladyland and The Gods Made Love and Have You Ever Been to Electric Ladyland. The first one has King's X bassist Doug Pinnick on vocals and jazz drummer Tony Williams. Williams was supposed to do a session with Jimmy and Miles Davis before Miles asked for more money, then Tony asked for more money. Electric Ladyland has Pinnick and Williams back again, joined by jazz great Stanley Clarke on bass, session king and total guitarist Steve Lukather, and on lead vocals, our own buddy Miles. Clarke and Williams are back on Rainy Day Dream Away with Robin Ford on guitar, Mike Finnegan doing his original organ part, and vocals by Taj Mahal. The Wind Cries Mary has Sting returning to the Hendrix cover scene, taking vocals and bass on the song. His guitarist Dominic Miller is also there along with drummer Vinny Colaiuta and Hendrix's old jamming partner John McLaughlin. Spanish Castle Magic is next with Clarke and Williams joined by Carlos Santana and singer Sash Jordan, who was on a hot streak at the time. The track would make another appearance on a later tribute album, but Sass wouldn't make the cut. More on that later. Little Wing follows a unique interpretation with lead by harmonica great Toots Thielemann. Living Color singer Corey Glover has the next two songs, In From the Storm and Drifting. Both include Billy Cox on bass. Storm has Spin Doctors guitarist Eric Shankman and former Pearl Jam drummer Dave Abruzzese. Drifting has Tony Beard on drums, Dave Samuels on vibes, Hiram Bullock on rhythm guitar, and the master himself, Steve Vai, on lead. Paul Rodgers returns to do vocals on Bold as Love with Williams and Vai, joined by former Aussie bassist Bob Daisley. Doug Pinnick pops back up to do Burning of the Midnight Lamp with Shankman and Abruzzese, joined by Noel Redding. Buddy returns to do a funky version of Purple Haze with Bootsy Collins and Bernie Worrell laying down the rhythm and Lukather taking the solos. The album ends with Queen's Brian May doing One Rainy Wish with Neil Murray on bass and Cozy Powell on drums. The shifting backing bands on each song give the album an interesting flow. The only one of Jimmy's main side men not to make an appearance on the record was Mitch. Wish they could have worked out an appearance by him. But it was nice to hear Billy, Buddy, and especially Noel doing Jimmy songs again. Noel had a very turbulent relationship with Jimmy's legacy. He'd signed over his portion of the song rights back in the early 70s and kept trying to make it on his own with little success. A long stretch of alcohol addiction finally snapped in the late 80s. An autobiography released in the early 90s was somewhat cathartic, and he began to embrace that early aspect of his life a little more, leading to his appearance here. But like much of Jimmy's posthumous legacy, there were still legal disputes that continue to this day, as well as unexpected tragedy. Noel's wife and helper in getting him back on the straight and narrow, Carol Appleby, was killed in a car accident in 1990, and Noel himself passed away in 2003 from cirrhosis of the liver, likely a result of his years of alcohol abuse. Power of Soul, a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. Wait a minute, didn't we just use this subtitle? The next tribute album of note didn't show up until the new century at dawn. This time, experienced Hendrix had a hand in it directly and helped put together Power of Soul. It has its mix of eclectic artists doing Jimmy covers, but also has a few extra bits. The album starts off with Jimmy's dad, Al Hendrix, thanking all the musicians in the world for keeping his son's music alive. The first real song is Music Soul Child's version of Are You Experienced, funkified but still sounding familiar. The next song also sounds familiar, Carlos Santana's version of Spanish Castle Magic. Wasn't this on the last tribute album? Well, yes, it was. But this time, instead of Sass Jordan on vocals, it's Living Color frontman Corey Glover. Actually, in 2022, Sass Jordan just put out a new album, so she's actually still out there. A song called Purple House follows. It's not a mashup of Purple Haze and Red House. It's a cover of Red House with the word purple as the color and drenched in wah-wah. And if the word purple comes up, only one artist comes to mind. Minneapolis' own Mr. Nelson, Prince. The next one is even more familiar. Sting's The Wind Cries Mary is the exact same version as the one on In From the Storm. The next two songs are certainly from the funk side of the musical spectrum. The legendary Earth, Wind, and Fire take on Voodoo Child's Slight Return. And if you made up an Earth, Wind, and Fire version of the song in your head, it probably sounded a lot like this, with the horns and the harmonies all coming together. You know what you're going to get. Next up is Power of Soul with Bootsy Collins teaming up with funk legend George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars. They could not have picked a better song, and they can go to town with it as only P-Funk can. Next is the return of Eric Clapton, this time taking on Burning of the Midnight Lamp. Again, nothing out of the ordinary, just great to hear Slow Hand doing his buddy's songs with a lot of emotional impact. Lenny Kravitz does his version of Have You Ever Been to Electric Ladyland. He adds some quiet wah-wah pedal throughout, and the R&B style piano is a great addition. Really fits the song. Another little bit from Al called 30 Years is next. Then Devoted Spirits featuring jazz keyboardist George Duke helping out come in with a wicked cover of Who Knows, really heavy on the keyboards, which is why we have George Duke here. Then New Jersey's own Robert Randolph and his family band are up next with their steel guitar version of Purple Haze. When Darren and I saw the Experience Hendrix tribute show, Robert was there and announced he was going to hold court at one of the local places he used to play all the time. I had to go home, though. It was a Wednesday night. Jimmy's buddy Velvet Turner has a little excerpt called Going Home. This is followed by Chaka Khan doing Little Wing. She knows how to do it quietly and soulfully, then ramps it up and belts it out of the park. She may be every woman, but not every woman can do this. She can. The choir group Sounds of Blackness does their version of Castles Made of Sand, an interesting take on it. The jazz duo Tuck and Patty did a version of their own back in the late 80s with Little Wing taking the place of the middle verse. Red Hot Chili Peppers also did a live version that made the rounds online. Guitarist Eric Gales does his version of May This Be Love next. On an early episode of MTV's Unplugged, Joe Satriani duetted with then-host Jules Shear on the song as well. Before his days as Gnarls Barkley and telling audiences F you, CeeLo Green did a funked up version of Foxy Lady for this album. The album ends with a couple of previously released numbers, John Lee Hooker's Red House from Variations on a Theme, and then the album ends with the live version of Steve Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble doing a medley of Little Wing and Third Stone from the Sun. This was also the album that was supposed to have Mojo Man on it, but that ended up on People, Hell, and Angels almost a decade later. Jimmy's influence didn't end with the passing of Stevie Ray Vaughan. Guitar impresarios Joe Satriani, Steve Vai, and Eric Johnson have been staples on the tribute tours, as has younger blues bass players Johnny Lang and Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Shepherd even ends his shows with Voodoo Child, and like SRV, he doesn't do anything radical with it, but gives it his own feel. There's one other tribute album of note, this one by his former bandmates in the band of Gypsies, Buddy Miles and Billy Cox. The two had done an earlier tribute album with Hendrix impersonator Randy Hanson back in the 80s, but it was on some off label. This time they decided to get some younger players to redo some of their classics, a few Jimmy songs, and a couple new ones. The Band of Gypsies Return. The Band of Gypsies Return came out in 2006. Guitar World head writer Andy Aladort takes guitar honors on the first two songs, straight up redos of Power of Soul and Machine Gun. Next is an interesting take on Manic Depression by Buddy. It's a completely different arrangement and sounds like it came from the 1975-76 era, you know, that kind of sound. The next two songs are originals by Billy. You've Got the Best in Town bears a very strong resemblance to Jimmy Reed's Baby What You Want Me to Do. The other is a modern take of an old-fashioned horn arranged song, Let Your Word Be Your Bond. Nothing revolutionary here, but it's great to hear Billy take the lead on these. The rest of the album is live. Stone Free has Billy on vocals with guitarist Kenny Olson pitching in. It's a short 4-minute version, unlike the epics they did at the Fillmore shows. For some reason, they decided to do Power of Soul again with Andy on guitar, but with vocals by Sheldon Reynolds. Probably would have been better to do Message of Love here. Sheldon also does vocals on the next song, Who Knows, with Eric Gales on guitar. Then the disc ends with Foxy Lady with Gales on guitar and vocals. The funny thing is it starts off with the intro to Manic Depression, more like Jimmy's than the earlier one on the album. The DVD has a video of them doing Foxy Lady and some bits in the studio. There's nothing really earth-shattering here, but it's kind of good to hear the guys together again. Speaking of, good to hear the guys together again. To bring this show full circle, we go back to Jimmy's buddies, Eric Clapton and Steve Winwood. The former Blind Faith bandmates hadn't played together on a sustained basis since the Arms concerts in the UK back in 1983. Those shows were more widely known for having the three Yardbird guitarists, Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page, together on one show. In the 2000s, Clapton began to do a series of shows with practically every guitarist under the sun and Bill Murray to raise money for his Crossroads Center for Drug Treatment. In the 2007 show, Winwood joined him for a short set list that includes several members from Blind Faith. This inspired the duo to do a series of shows in 2008 at Madison Square Garden. The set list would include Blind Faith songs as well as songs from both of their careers, but with a catch. Eric would pick the songs he wanted to do from Steve's back catalog, and Steve would do the same with Eric's. This led to some interesting choices, such as No Face, No Name, No Number from Traffic, Double Trouble, Split Decision, and Forever Man. But there were three Jimmy-related songs the two chose together. The first was Them Changes, which was sung by Steve. Buddy Miles was very ill at the time of the concerts, and perhaps this prompted the guys to do the song. Their first show was on February 25th, and one of the last things Buddy ever heard was the two legends doing a song. He passed away the next day, and on the video of the concerts, Eric and Steve dedicated the song to him. The other two Jimmy songs were together towards the end of the set. Little Wing is Don Domino style, with the guys singing the verses together, sort of like how Eric and Bobby Whitlock did, and how they did it at Clapton's Rainbow concert in 1973. Very few can touch Eric when he's doing emotional soloing, and this song was full of them. The second was very familiar to Steve since he played on the original. In the early 2000s, Winwood did some limited touring, and as a bonus disc on his About Time album, he included his live arrangement of Voodoo Child. The two of them do it this way, doing almost the full song, but instead of the thundering end like it was on Electric Ladyland, the song slowly and ominously fades out. I was lucky enough to see Eric and Steve on their short tour in 2009 after the release of the Madison Square Garden shows on a live album and video. It was the last of many shows I saw at the Meadowlands, and to this day, my last official concert. They did practically every song on the live album, including the three Jimmy-related songs. When I was sitting there listening to Voodoo Child, I thought about what it might have been like if Jimmy had done the song at the Fillmore or Winterland. I guess this is the next best thing we're ever going to get. Not a bad show to go out on. The arena closed a few years later. The last time I was there was Thanksgiving weekend 2013 for Disney on Ice with my wife and son, as well as my nephew and youngest niece. My poor sister was at my apartment in East Rutherford for the most time since she wasn't feeling well. We actually just missed the Wallington Christmas parade that night. Oh well. But Jimmy covers are still continuing. Avant-garde musician Paul Hardcastle put out his own funkified version of Voodoo Child. Sounds like it could have come right out of the late 80s. Then a later mix had some rap worked in. Very coolly done, in my opinion. And in the Out of Nowhere camp, I mentioned this way back in one of the earlier episodes, Squeeze vocalist Glenn Tilbrook did a wild acoustic version of that song as a regular part of his solo shows in 2009 or so. Then later did an electric version as well. Thanks to my buddy Ray for pointing this one out. And just to show you why this thing ended up so long, I just remembered U2 had two Jimmy references on 1988's Rattle and Hum album. They covered All Along the Watchtower, with Bono infamously adding his own lyrics on an album where they worked with Dylan on another song, and they used the Woodstock version of the Star Spangled Banner as an intro to Bullet the Blue Sky Live. And even when I talked about an album, I still forgot something. On Soul to Soul, SRV does a cover of Come On. It's almost beat for beat and note for note, the same as Jimmy's cover, but he calls his Come On Part 3. So Jimmy's influence was quite long-lasting, even if it was somewhat focused. He was definitely better than the old line about the Velvet Underground. The line is they had very few fans, but every one of them started a band. He's still a 60s icon. One could argue his influence may be broader if Sony and Experience Hendrix would let his music be heard more. If you look on YouTube, sometimes his stuff can be kind of hard to find. I mean, if the Beatles were letting both early mixes of Get Back sit up there for who knows how long, you'd think some Jimmy boots would be up there as well. Some videos are up there, mostly live, and again, mostly from Experience Hendrix's own catalog. There have been a couple of Hendrix biofilms over the past 20 years or so that might have been helped if they'd actually been allowed to use Jimmy's songs instead of covers he did by those obscure artists, the Beatles and Bob Dylan. And also, you have to wonder what things would have been like if he were still around to sort things out by himself. We'll be taking a look at the last month of his life next time. So this episode will officially end season one of Keep On Grooving. We've pretty much taken care of all the officially released albums up to now. Next season, we're going to move into some other areas, like videos, books, things like that. Also looking to do some video episodes along the way. And yes, hopefully before the year is out, we'll get our hands on the teased Electric Lady Studios box set. If it arrives as advertised, it will be a wealth of material. Next episode, we're going to go over the last month of Jimmy's life, from the time he left the Electric Lady opening party through the last short tour and how things ended that day in September 1970. We're going to focus in on the facts, not go off into kooky conspiracy theories and things like that, though we may mention a couple of the wilder ones along the way as comparison. That's next time I Keep On Grooving. I'm John Hartrath. Thanks for listening, and as they say in the old song, see you in September.